Is he back? Are you back, CJ?
Yeah.
You cannot play Halo during the podcast. You can't. It screws up your internet.
Yeah, sorry.
Either that or switch to SD porn and not the HD porn, okay?
You know me so...
Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 34. In this episode, we're going to interview Rob LeMaire of FP Web. Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Andrew Connell.
And I'm Chris Johnson.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it. Well, here we are with another episode, episode 34. How are you today, CJ?
Not bad, my friend, not bad. How are you doing?
I'm slowly recovering. I don't feel sick anymore.
You sound a lot better.
Yeah, I sound better until I start coughing. This is the good part, is that all of our listeners get to get all that edited out. They've now heard two or three episodes now with me being sick as a dog, and it's I am really trying, and this is going to sound really bad to all of our listeners, but I am trying really hard. I've got a doctor's appointment tomorrow, and I'm trying to get this one medicine that has, I get this cough every few years. And there's one medicine that works fantastic. The problem is, the good thing is it's a cough suppressant. The cough generates a massive headache by about 9 a.m. every morning for me. The problem is that I can't ask explicitly for this medicine because it's a narcotic.
Nice. I see.
So it's got codeine in it. And so I can't walk in and be like, hey, can I have Tussinex? And he's like, So I've got even a bigger challenge tomorrow because I don't get to see my doctor. I see my PA. And so I'm just like going, yeah, so there's this thing that's worked incredibly well together. And I'm going on a road show next week and I got to talk, you know.
Hook a brother up.
Yeah. Is there anything you can help me out with here? And he's like, there's one thing that really works. And he's like, okay, we'll give you more of that. I'm like, okay, sweet. So,
yeah.
But it's been fun.
Dose up to the eyeballs. You got to do it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So what you been up to?
Oh, quite a bit. Our house goes on sale today. So, looking to move. So we've been running around like mad hatters, fixing up bits and pieces and getting it ready for the market. And that's pretty much been a whole bunch of chores and things like that. But, obviously that's kind of outside of work, bits and bobs, but, yeah, it's been keeping us really busy.
Awesome. Yeah. That's a big deal to get through all that.
Yeah, no, definitely. How about you?
Oh, well.
Apart from the sickness, of course.
Apart from the sickness, it's just running around. I was in Boston last week, home this week, and it's been like just chaos between kids swimming and, I don't know, they're on summer vacation, but I think that summer vacation's turned into mom and dad shuttle them every freaking place in the world, so.
Yeah. You have a trip next week, right?
Yes, I'm actually, next week I'm heading over to by the time the show goes live, I will be landing in London for the SharePoint Evolutions road show. So it's going on right now. It's a similar to the conference that Steve Smith and Combined Knowledge put on in London every April. Mm. They changed it this year because the SharePoint conference, it started in, I believe, Southwest England, and it kind of makes its way every day a new city, all the way up into Scotland, and then it jumps over to Ireland and does Belfast and Dublin. And so I'm picking up the show on Wednesday of next week, which I believe that's June the 18th in Newcastle. And I do Newcastle, and I know I do Aberdeen and Edinburgh and Belfast and Dublin. So it's do a session a day. And so it'll be a fun trip. See some old friends, and first time to Scotland. Definitely been to London or been to England before. Haven't been outside of London, and first time to Ireland.
Nice.
In about 10 years. So looking forward to it.
You'll have a great time.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. So, well, hey, before we get started, one little bit of news here. I mentioned it a couple episodes ago, but the SharePoint Pod Show, another SharePoint podcast that's out there that's run by Brett Lonsdale and Rob Foster. And I don't know if Nick Swan is still involved in it or not anymore, but you and I did an interview with them late last year, and Rob has mixed it down and he just published it in this past week. I think on June the 5th, he published it. It's episode 87, where he interviewed you and I. And so there's some things that are a little dated and that we talked about. I think we were on episode number 7 and this is episode 34. So, you know, it's been a while, but
yeah.
Anybody wants to hear a little bit about that, then they can go in. I love that how we said, we won't be doing interviews. We're only doing news. Well, today we're doing an interview.
Exactly. Exactly. Why don't we talk about that?
Absolutely. Let's dive right into it. So today with us, as our listeners know, we recently did an interview with Jeff Deverter of Rackspace. We said we wanted to bring a couple SharePoint hosting companies to the show and just kind of talk to them about what they how they see the landscape and how what they're seeing from their customers. Today we have with us Rob Lemire from FP Web. So Rob is the CEO and founder of FP Web, and his mid-90s venture into hosting services and cloud computing gained traction with the introduction of Microsoft FrontPage, SharePoint's predecessor. From there, FP Web has grown alongside SharePoint, adding value and to businesses all over the world with dedicated managed SharePoint along a premium hosting experience focused on the customer. In Rob's free time, he enjoys spending time with his family, soccer, well, that should be big this week, and fly fishing. So welcome to the show, Rob.
Thanks, guys. How you been?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. So soccer fan, huh?
I am fired up. World Cup starts this Thursday, Brazil versus Croatia, and then the U.S. men's team. We're taking on Ghana on Monday. And AC, I'm also going to be in London at the same time as you are. So it'll be interesting sitting in a pub somewhere watching the U.S. men's play.
Oh, man.
Very cool.
I so wish I could do that, too. And I land in London on Tuesday about the time the show goes live, and I'm there for about 4 hours. And in that 4 hours, I have to make it from Heathrow to King's Cross to catch a train. So we talked about trying to meet up, but I have to out myself on one major epic soccer fail. And I had tickets and went to the U.S.-Nigeria game friendly that was this past weekend.
Yeah, great game.
In my hometown. And my wife and I just completely dropped the ball, thinking the game started at 7 o'clock local time. It started at 6 p.m. local time, so we rolled into the stadium 30 minutes earlier, or so we thought, and we got to see the last 3 minutes of the first half and the whole second half. So,
oh, no. Epic fail.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
good one. At least you got to see some of it.
We did. We missed one goal. We got to see the PK. We got to see another the second fabulous goal by US, and we had great tickets and everything. So it was fun. It was just I just had that that cloud over me the whole time, just pissed off because both kids were so fired up to go to it. So
yeah, well, brutal. You know that game is huge for what I think will be U.S. soccer history going to be made this year. Mm-hmm. Altidore, the forward, hadn't scored, in just about a year. So for him to score twice, and then Nigeria is a very similar team to Ghana. So it's a great warm-up for us to see if we can have some success there. So, yep. Yeah, I'm super fired up that you got to see the game. I'm a little bit jealous, of course.
Yeah, it was good fun. What we did see was good fun. But well, cool. So, yeah, so today, I guess what we wanted to talk to you about was we're going to talk about FP Web and, get your take on some stuff. I did a keynote about 2 months ago for the SharePoint, the SP TechCon conference in San Francisco. And some of the stuff that I talked about in the keynote was actually based on a blog post that you put out from your experience both at the executive roundtables and your breakout session that you did at the SharePoint conference back in Las Vegas in early March. And so I guess before we jump into what your perspective is on what the customers are what they're looking for and where FP Web fits into it and what you have to offer, why don't I give you an opportunity here just to kind of you explain exactly what is FP Web? What does FP Web do when if somebody's curious and our listeners aren't familiar with it?
Yeah, and so just the high level, we're a dedicated hosting provider, and so cloud and hosting, they're ubiquitous. They're the same thing. And so it's, getting that out of your data center so that you can work on things that are more strategic, to your company. In SBC, I think there are a lot of things that were highlighted there. And I think Microsoft left some huge gaps as far as some things that they did not address that people have real concerns, including the roadmap of SharePoint. But SBC was really an interesting event, just speaking to all the C-suite folks that I had access to. And then talking to, people on the 365 team and where the SharePoint product is going. So that was interesting. Yeah, so it's really been an interesting ride at FP Web, you know, since roughly 99, when the product, you know, really wasn't very solid, and then watching it mature, really through the 07 release and the 10 solid, and now 13, you know, I would consider it highly usable. And it can do, you know, great things, as you guys know, for companies with the right folks behind, you know, the architecture and the design.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's nice. You kind of hear this, you hear this question coming up quite a bit, you know, when people are saying, between on-prem and 365. And I guess, you know, from my point of view, I think that we have a lot of people in the industry that look at 365, they have a bad attitude towards it. And a lot of it, well, I have a series that I did on itunity.com where I talked about, I think that people need to reset their expectations, because I think that when 365 first came out for the hosting story, Microsoft really stubbed their toe a bunch and really kind of pitching it, or at least making the impression that people thought that this is the only option going forward. When not only is it not the only option from Microsoft going forward, but there are companies like yourself that can really offer that either from different perspectives, either a, we want to do a hosted thing where we get the stuff out of our environment, we can leverage somebody like you, or we are not ready to go fully to 365 and we need some sort of a middle ground in there.
Yeah, and I think that's a great statement, and I'll back up even a little bit more from, you know, kind of the C-suite perspective and folks trying to understand, you know, how 365 fits. In my opinion, I think Microsoft is now coming back around to the partners and really realizing for this stuff to get serious traction, again, they need folks like yourselves to get behind it and understand and help fill the gaps and really talk transparently about, you know, what makes sense for businesses, because, you know, FP Web, 365, you know, on-prem, we aren't the answers for all of it. You know, there's a place for everything. And we need to be talking about it openly.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. I think it's, you know, it's been interesting watching over the last really few years, I guess, as cloud computing's really taken off, and where folks are sort of dipping their toes in the water versus jumping in whole hog, and then you know, figuring out where on the dial they are. So, where do you think on that dial FP Web sits? Do you think it's really just about getting the stuff out of the customer's data centers and being managed by somebody else, or the hardware being managed by somebody else? Or do you think it's, or does FP Web offer a bunch of additional services that sort of are over and above really just taking the hardware out of the person's data center and giving them more of a cloudy service than they would get just from a regular hosting provider?
Yeah, we're definitely not your average Joe. So if you think about SharePoint, you know, what we want to be able to do with SharePoint is to treat it as a platform and let us keep it running, period. And, you know, we're really agnostic as to where you want it to live, but we will take care of it and keep it up and running so that you can just use it as a platform.
Gotcha.
You know, ultimately, at the SBC, you know, during the speech, you know, the session that I did, I talked about IT's transformation, their evolution, you know, where they're going from optimization to innovation. And, you know, that last stage of innovation is around, you know, managed cloud. You know, we're not there yet. It's going to take 3 or 4 years for all of us to start getting there. And, you know, the first stage, optimization, is really around colo. So we're just starting to leave that phase.
I see.
So getting into that last phase, you know, it will be all about cloud managed. And this is all, you know, from Gartner sources. So it makes perfect sense to me. And you've seen certain folks like, you know, I can mention a group we've got here in St. Louis, Monsanto, is really doing a nice job of driving that IT to be an innovator, you know, instead of a cost center. So, you know, getting back to FP Web, you know, we want to be the enabler for SharePoint to just use it as a platform. You know, you use it where you think it should live, and then we'll take care of it so you don't have to.
Gotcha. Now, that's definitely interesting watching the different stepping stones or the path that people take in terms of not only from a technology point of view, but from a sort of a comfort level point of view from them. You know, because many years ago, it would have been, you know, almost – sacrilege to let go of your servers out of your own data center, and now it's a, you know, it's a complete no-brainer in many regards, right? So it's or at least in many situations. So it's interesting watching the different, you know, steps people take in terms of comfort factor and levels and things.
Yeah, and what's interesting is, you know, AC's headed over to the Steve Smith Show, you know, like he was saying, and you know, we were there exhibiting, talking to folks, really 3 years ago. And we were so early, you know, I think we were too early. And so it will be interesting going back over each of us to hear how those conversations have progressed. I do think the U.S. is a little bit ahead of the U.K. market, but absolutely, you're correct. You know, if and where it makes sense to get that data out of there, you know, you have to, you know, to be competitive and to be agile and move faster and get things done.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I mean, I think we did see when... That was kind of one of my takes that I had in that whole series that I put together was it was surprising to me that when Microsoft first started talking about Office 365, that was around the SharePoint conference 2012 time, and they were pushing it pretty darn hard on us, right? And it seemed like on-prem was either dead or we weren't going to be doing on-prem in the next few years. And I know there was a pretty serious pushback from a lot of customers about that. You saw them really change that message at the SharePoint conference, where companies seem to have a much better option of if they want to stay on-prem, if they want to go in the cloud, if they want to be hybrid. But they now have with this other offering for companies like yourself to where they can really outsource their IT piece to it and really the management of both the hardware and the cost of the hardware and the management of their SharePoint environments. And they can get the benefit of SharePoint, you know, I'm putting in air quotes here, SharePoint in the cloud, but with all the benefits of an on-prem deployment and have all the full features that they normally couldn't have in Office 365 and all the control and all the touch and everything.
Well, that is a perfect advertisement, I think, for both myself and Jeff at Rackspace. So we're probably going to use that one, AC. So that's, yeah, you're spot on. You know, and I think the conversation I'm hearing right now, which is interesting, is, hey, our SharePoint admin is gone, MIA, or has left us for another career, and you know, how do we fill that hole? You know, and to me, that's a kind of a leading indicator of where this is all going. And you're right, you know, we've all got to embrace 365, and it will make sense for most of the users. But that on-prem, you know, is 80% of the market right now. You know, Gartner thinks it's going to be 60% when this is all said and done. You know, there will most likely be two very different worlds of SharePoint that folks are going to need to take care of.
Yeah, it's a good point. And you know, you mentioned Rackspace too. And so I know for my personal benefit, I'd like to ask this question, and I'm sure a bunch of our listeners are as well, because I get the question about, you know, where do I fit in this whole spectrum? Do I go on-prem? Do I go Office 365? Or is there a middle ground? And what are my middle ground options? And I mean, my stock answer is always Rackspace or FP Web is that middle ground, but I personally don't know enough to say how is Rackspace different from FP Web, or how is FP Web different from Rackspace, or how are they similar? We asked Jeff the same question. I mean, I'll give you a chance to go through and share what you would say in terms of, to somebody who is looking for that somewhere middle ground, and how can they kind of look at FP Web?
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, we're at opposite ends of the spectrum. You know, we're not $1 billion. You know, we're probably not for sale right now, right? So it's a very interesting, you know, but I have used them as a model too. I love that company. I love that they've been able to keep that culture and have 5,000 employees. You know, if you've ever walked into that, they do an amazing job with their culture. I think we are very similar in the level of service. We just happen to be hyper-focused on SharePoint. You know, we're 40 SharePoint folks. You know, that's all we do. So that, I think that helps us define who we are and what we're all about. And the other, I do think there's one other big difference right now is that we're pretty partner-centric, whereas SharePoint does a lot of the consulting, you know, with their own teams, with the SharePoint 911 folks. So we rely on partners to provide some of those gaps where we won't take on, you know, projects based on consulting or even development. So that's
gotcha. Interesting.
One.
Okay. Hey, so what we do What we've been doing in the show is getting a listener question for that we all can answer in sort of, you know, 20 or 30 seconds. And now seems to be a good sort of interim spot in the conversation just to briefly take a pause and discuss our listener question. So are you up for a quick question?
Absolutely.
Let's go.
So a listener sent this in. They said, if you could have one day to sit down with two or three people individually to talk to them, they have to be alive, who would they be? And maybe just a short kind of why.
You got it. So I've got three, and I'll do the one that's going to probably interest people the least, and that would be Pele, who's the greatest soccer player ever.
Ooh, yeah, very topical.
Three World Cups, you know, for Brazil. Ambassador for soccer right now. Still doing a lot of really neat things for humanity. Went from having nothing to doing, you know, well for himself. So he's one guy I would love to have a conversation with, have access to. My next one is in the business world, and that would be Warren Buffett. And I'm just amazed by this man's ability to judge companies and be consistently earning revenue year after year. Also by the type of person that he is, lives in a very modest, you know, home in Omaha, Midwest guy like myself. And, you know, just a pragmatic, interesting, sharp guy who a lot of people have tried to model themselves after. The last one is an interesting twist, and that would be Oprah. You know, if I was going to have dinner with someone, I think Oprah would be wonderfully entertaining, and you could probably learn quite a bit from this woman.
The
fact of all those people that she's interviewed who are so influential, and she has a fascinating story behind, you know, her own life. That would be a great dinner party for me. Warren Buffett, Oprah, and Pele, probably with a Portuguese translator for Pele.
Really, really good, really good spectrum there. I like the spectrum.
I love it. This is the whole, I love this segment that we're doing because it is completely off topic and it just, you learn so much about somebody. I think the last episode that CJ and I did, we had somebody ask us a question. CJ gave his answer and I just sat there with my mouth wide open, just like, really? You just stole my answer. That's the same thing that I wanted to say.
Hey, so how about you, AC? Who are your three?
So my three, and I'll admit I have a bit of a American kind of slant to this, but of course I could have a huge list. I got my three though. So first one, I am absolutely fascinated by the intelligence and surveying and all that kind of stuff. So I can't decide, but it's either the head of the NSA or the head of CIA. What do they worry about? What are they thinking about? And of course, this conversation would be they can tell me everything because, you know, this is all fictitious or whatever.
I was just going to say you wouldn't need to be with them because you could just have a conversation, they'd record it and they could just play it back to you.
I say thank you to them in my email footer every once in a while.
Nice.
I really quick interruption to Rob. I would say that Warren Buffett is an awesome person to talk to. I had a chance to sit down with him for about 30 minutes, about 10, 15 years ago. And it was awesome. Yeah. He's friends with a family friend who runs a big mutual fund company. And he was doing a talk at the business school, University of Florida, on behalf of my family friend. And we all got to go to lunch with him afterward. And so I think his best quote was, you know, he said something like, yeah, I sleep great every night because I own Gillette. And I know that the hair on women's legs and the beards on men's faces is growing every night.
It's growing anywhere. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Really, talk about down to earth. But
yes, exactly. Yeah.
So my other two is Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, John Roberts. Would love to talk to him just from the stuff that he's seen. I'm a junkie listening to the oral arguments that the Supreme Court has with some of the big cases. I think it's just very rarely you run across somebody or you see somebody where you think that, hey, with enough insight and enough study and enough whatever, I feel like I could be as smart as that person. He's one of those guys, and all the justices are just one of those men. It's amazing to me how well they have an argument, clear, down-to-earth argument, and thinking on their feet so quickly with all the smartest people in the room. My last one is the one that I would go crazy to sit down with, and that's I think he's in charge of the planetarium in New York City, is Neil deGrasse Tyson. absolutely fabulous, fantastic, mm-hmm. insightful person, explains science and the world better than anybody I've ever listened to, and hang on his every word. So how about you, Mr. Johnson?
I'll be quick here. Bill Gates, just because he's changed the world a couple of times, and I'm interested to get his insights on that. Buzz Aldrin, because he's the only remaining living guy who made it to the moon first. And third place is a bit of a toss-up, I've got to tell you. I could go a couple of different ways on this. I would probably say Mikhail Gorbachev, to be honest. It was either him or Stephen Hawking. But I think Gorbachev for me would be my third. Just because the amount the interesting things that guy would have to say about change in the world and what he oversaw and what happened on his watch, I think would be fascinating.
Mm. Those are good. Those are really good. Yeah, it's great to hear these different things from each person. We're gonna do this again in the next episode. We got more coming too, where we'll find out who are the three people that you'd like to talk to who are no longer with us. They have to be alive when you talk to them, right? But they are dead now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that's different. Okay, cool. So thanks for taking part in that, Rob. Hope our listeners learned a little bit about each one of us on that one.
Yeah, looking forward to that dinner party.
We'll schedule it. Like CJ and I said in our last episode, we'll pick you up in the podcast G5 and go down to our private island and make sure we have a nice good time.
Done deal. Let's do it.
Well, let me ask you something. Where do you think, one of the things that we talked about, I guess, in leading up to this show with you over email was, where do you think we're going with this? I mean, I heard you say earlier, and when I say with this, I mean about the whole cloud and SharePoint, specifically around the SharePoint point of view. But where do you think that we're going down the road for customers? I mean, we can see where Microsoft wants to go. We can see what Gartner says, that 60% of this business is going to be, if I heard you right, said Office is going to be 365. But where do you see us going in the next, 18 months, in the next 5 years, as much as we can predict 5 years from now in this business?
Yeah, and I think we can definitely speak to the next 5 years. Microsoft has one more release they're saying that's going to come out for the on-prem folks. And then that Gartner stat, AC is we're really at about 80% of the folks are still on-prem currently. Mm. Gartner sees 60% of those folks remaining on-prem, kind of at the end of the life cycle here.
I see. Sorry, I heard you wrong. I see.
No worries. And there's definitely a highway, with two lanes developing here. And you're going to basically have two environments to take care of. 365, you're going to need that because that's got all the latest and greatest. And for, a large portion of your users, that's going to make sense, hey, because we're all using it now, and it's a good product. And then, you've got all these customizations and all this work and investment in an on-prem environment. And, you're not going to abandon that. That CFO is not going to unwind that, because he's got to get the ROI out of that investment, and it just doesn't make business sense. So there are definitely going to be two environments for all of us to manage and take care of in the future, and I think that's the challenge for the service providers, like an FP Web, is, hey, can we help you take care of that on-prem environment so you don't need to worry about it, and then can we integrate it successfully with those other web services like a Salesforce and, of course, Office 365 and Azure and things like that.
Do you see, let me go back to that 60% number just for a second, and I'm not harping on 60%, but just on the train of thought. So we're looking at saying of the people who are on-prem today, 60% of them will remain to be on-prem. We've seen Microsoft has said publicly that they are committing to another release in calendar year 2015, which, some people want to read into that and say, well, they're not doing any more from that, but they've never really said more than one version down the road anyway. So it's reading the tea leaves, and we're all can make educated guesses on if that is the last one or not, but we don't know. Do you see then the growth coming from 365, not that on-prem customer moving to 365, or do you see the real opportunity for Microsoft with 365 is bringing in the new customer that has not been going to SharePoint Online because it's been so cost prohibitive, both in terms of dollars and resources and hardware and maintenance and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, the opportunity for them is in the new customer. You know, there is no question about that. Of course the old saying around SharePoint is, right, if it's not broken, you know, don't touch it, right? You know, let that thing run, leave it alone, get your ROI out of it. You know, don't wake that sleeping dog. You know, I started looking at some metrics around, you know, the Far East numbers for Microsoft. I think they do something like 5% of the U.S., yet the Chinese market is 5x. You know, it's so far slanted. It's just crazy, you know, and I really feel this is where, you know, they think they need to push because of all the piracy that goes on in the East. You know, they're going to let all this software phase out. And, you know, at some point that stuff's going to stop working, and they'll start picking up all those seats via 365. And it'll be a significant push for them. You know, and that's probably 3 to 5 years out, but it'll come. You know, they'll pick it up, and it'll be a big move for them.
Yeah, and I think it's just my couple of thoughts on that are, it's, you know, it's a long game, right? We've been talking about this for a number of years. And, you know, for those of us that have been in the industry for a long time, we've seen changes come and go. Initially everybody thinks the sky is falling and all hell and fury is going to unleash. And then, but typically, you know, it takes a number of years to play out, and it's a long game, and, nothing happens overnight, but, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint, so to speak. And, things just take their time.
We just saw, XP, right?
You know, right. Hell, that was a hell of a marathon. And right, it's still a marathon going on, even though Microsoft finished it.
Exactly. You know,
I think that's a Kona Ironman.
Yeah, exactly. That's a triple.
They backed
Iron
up
Man
on that one. You know, and we've got SharePoint 2013 end of life, you know, as of April. You know, so that, you know, there's 10 years beyond that last release. So, you know, it's not going anywhere for quite a while. So,
it's really just
about connecting those clouds and the integration piece. I think that's the challenge.
I totally agree. I think we're going to live in a hybrid world for a number of years to come. And I think that, like I said, folks that have been in this industry for a while get that and are under no sort of illusions that hybrid is going to be the reality for a lot of established businesses today. And it's just what we're going to be dealing with for some time.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think a lot of people are already doing hybrid. They just don't realize it.
Interesting.
So when they look at another platform, you know, they can do it. They just have to have that same open mindset about connecting to other services as well.
That's
gotcha. Yeah. Hey, so it's been really great talking. I guess just in terms of wrapping it up, I'd love to just get your final thoughts on the state of the SharePoint Nation and any sort of wrap up comments you have for our listeners. It's been great having you on the show, and we appreciate you spending the time and energy coming and chatting with us. But any final thoughts for our listeners as we wrap up?
You know, just quickly, you know, I love the people working with SharePoint. I don't know what it is, but any of you who've been around the communities for any amount of time understand that it's a little bit different, and that's what gets me so excited is, you know, honestly trying to help other people be successful in the SharePoint world. You know, is what gets me out of bed in the morning and gets me pumped up. So, ACM, you know, hopefully I get to catch you maybe at Heathrow next week, but I'm looking forward to getting caught up with the UK contingency and seeing how they're doing over there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hope we can find a way to make it work.
Sounds good.
Cool. Thanks a lot, Rob. I appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate your time. And
thanks a lot.
Hope we shared a little bit of knowledge with your listeners.
If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text. We'll record it as a WAV or an MP3 file and provide a link so that we can play your question on the show. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can find us on Facebook searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.